Well, good evening. We're going to continue our study on the flood of Noah. Probably got two more lessons, two more weeks anyway, as far as the flood of Noah. Then we'll go to our next lesson. Not sure who set this back there on the desk, but it's an article about, well, it's what Elwood and Nancy went to, Noah's Ark and the Creation Museum. Was that? Okay, Randy did that. From Christian Chronicle. Good article. I'm going to post it back there on the bulletin board so everybody can read it. We won't take time right now to read that. But it's, I always thought they were in one single park, but they said, no, they're separated a little ways. But they're really worthwhile going and seeing. So hopefully one of these days, Lord willing, we'll make it out there and do that. But anyway, Ken Ham on God, Creation, and the Earth's Age. He was kind of the one that got this rolling as far as the Creation Museum and getting the Ark built. Like I said, it's a good article, so we'll put it back there on the bulletin board and thank Randy for bringing it to our attention. Last week, we saw a video on Mount St. Helens and the results that people have been able to see, to do experiments, take measurements. That was just a small eruption. I think in the video they said it was equivalent to an atomic bomb going off 1 second for, 9 hours? that's a lot of power. I don't care how you go about it. That's a lot of power. But that was a small volcanic eruption. Tom and I were talking right before lesson that one in Hawaii is causing quite a bit of havoc over there. I know the people that live there was... Myself, I sat there and looked at those pictures and say, why do you build so close to a volcano? You know, I'd be want to be on another island someplace instead of the one that's active. But anyway, hopefully nobody gets hurt in that one. But it just kind of shows us the power that the earth has, that God has put in place. And these are small, like I said, compared to what has happened in the past and what could happen. But if you missed the video from last week, I have a copy of it. I'll let you look at it, but it's really good. It kind of explains a lot of this, how the rock layers can be formed in a short period of time, how coal can be formed in a short period of time, how canyons like the Grand Canyon can be formed in a short period of time. They were able to actually see that volcano. They photographs, videos. They could see what was a result of that. It wasn't something of speculation. It was something they could see even measure. And there was like 600 feet of rock formed over a period of about 2 years. So yes, it happens in a short period of time. And that's what the flood's all about. It was a worldwide event. Again, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. It's a small flood that we have here. We know the devastation that can happen in a very short period of time. But this continued. And not only water being released from above, but water being released from below. So God made man pay sins, what caused all that. But let's go ahead and read something that says, evolutionist tells us that the coal, oil, and rock formations that we have all across the earth today came about through a slow process called uniformitarianism that has taken place over millions of years. Uniformitarianism basically just says that everything happens gradually. The processes that we see today, minus Mount St. Helens, they've said that it's happened really slow. Rock formed really slow. Fossils formed really slow. Coal formed really slow. But when you take the flood into account, it didn't happen slowly. It happened quickly in a very short period of time. They also say that lava beds, the ice age, and fossils are a result of events that happened over a period of millions of years. And again, we've seen that it didn't take millions of years for just a little volcano that happened on Mount St. Helens. All of that happened, like I said, in a very short period of time. Quite a bit of destruction. So we know that's not the case. It didn't take millions of years for rock to form, coal to form, and so on. What evolutionists say took millions of years to accomplish actually took place in a very short period of time as a result of the flood. And as we saw with Mount St. Helens when it erupted in 1980, it was and continues to be a real-life laboratory and gives us answers to questions that have been asked through the years. How can rock layers be formed quickly? Even the guy that narrated the movie, he's a scientist. He studied all this, went to college, PhD, and he had said there toward the end, he said, if you told me a few years ago that a rock would be formed this fast, I would say you was crazy. But now I've seen it. It does happen. It can happen. And it did happen during the flood. These answers give proof that the Bible is correct. The earth has been subjected to a great flood sometime in the recent past. And in one of our earlier lessons, we noted that the earth is approximately how many years old? About 6,000. So sometime within those 6,000 years, the flood happened. And when we looked at the graph of the ages of the people from Adam forward, we know that the man was a certain age when he had the son that was in the lineage of Christ. When you add up those years, the flood comes up to 1,650 years after creation. Almost 2,000 years is when it happened. Again, those that don't believe in the Bible are going to say you're crazy. But that's God's word. That's what he says. It's interesting that we've noticed before that God didn't have to give us the ages of those patriarchs when their sons were born. But he did. And so all you got to do is just keep adding. And I believe he put them there for a purpose. To show us that the world is not millions of years old, but just a few thousand. The flood was a result of man's disobedience to God, and it brought about judgment not only on man, but also upon the whole earth. The earth changed. The earth suffered. Mankind suffered. Mankind had sinned, and everyone was evil, that is, except for Noah and his family. And because of Noah's faithfulness, God spared his family from the destruction that was brought upon the rest of mankind. 8 souls were saved through the ark. And of course, the animals that were on the ark. God had cleansed the earth with water and was now giving mankind a new start. It's kind of interesting that, to me anyway, water was used. God was cleansing away what? Sin. Through the use of water. How does he cleanse sin today? Water. Baptism. A different mode, but still water. So I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that's in God's plan. And then again, you can take it further, and we've talked about this before, is the ark was the place of the saved. Noah had to do something. He had to build that ark. And of the whole world, the only safe place was in that ark. And today, the only safe place is where? The church. Jesus built it for us. So when the world is destroyed the second time, if you're not in the church, you're going to be destroyed. Just like the people in the day of Noah. If they weren't in the ark, they were destroyed. So we need to make sure that we are in the Lord's church. When Noah and his family left the ark, they were faced with a world that was drastically different than the world that existed before the flood. We've talked a little bit about that in the past. We'll talk a little bit about more in a few minutes. After Noah and his family left the ark, we read in Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 and 22, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal, of every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on an altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So after the flood, of course, Noah left the ark. And as I said, the world was different than it was before he went into the ark. Peter says that the world that existed before had been destroyed. It doesn't mean that the earth was done away with, but it had been changed. Noah showed his love and gratitude to God by worshiping him and offering sacrifice. Where did he get the animals to sacrifice? The ones on the ark. Remember, he took all the animals two by two except for what? The clean animals. He took how many?
Seven.
Those he offered to sacrifice. There were many changes after the flood. New things to see. New challenges. New commands from God. Let's get our Bibles. Let's read Genesis chapter 8, beginning with verse 13, through Genesis 9, verse 17. Now, what we've studied so far is leading up to the flood, during the flood, the things that have happened as a result of the flood. But now, Noah has left the ark after a little over a year. Start a new life. Where there were millions of people before, there were now eight. And so they had to start life anew. In Genesis chapter 8, beginning at verse 13, it says, "And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth, so that they may abound on the earth, and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth according to their families went out of the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So God blessed Noah and his sons, and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely for your life blood I will demand a reckoning from the hand of every beast that I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply in it. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, and all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign for the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Okay, so that's what happened after Noah left the ark. God is talking to him, telling him to be fruitful and multiply, and gives him some commands, things to do. Also makes a covenant with Noah, his family, and all of his descendants. That means us, the rainbow in the sky. The flood, as we've noted, answers a lot of questions about what we have and what we see around us. It doesn't take millions of years. The rocks, the coal, the fossils, all happened in that period of time during the flood. We also talked about the ice age. The temperature after the flood was completely different on the earth than it was before. The world was very different after the flood. I want us to notice a few things here, in especially chapter 9, I want us to look at and discuss. In verse 2 of chapter 9, it says, the dread of man on all the animals. Animals are given for man's use. What does that mean? That God put the dread of man.
Well, he was to be dominant over the rest of the creation that God had made. Dominance is
It says, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast on the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and all fish in the sea. They are given into your hand. The question I ask, were animals not afraid of man before the flood? Seems to be. This is something new. In our next lesson, we're going to talk about dinosaurs. And one of the things that always is brought up, how can man live with dinosaurs? Well, if they were friendly before the flood, there wasn't a problem. And I'm not saying that's exactly how it is, but that's a possibility. Otherwise, why would God even bring that up? Why would he say that I have put the dread, I have put the fear of you in these animals? Again, the world before the flood is different than the world after the flood. Remember, God made paradise. He really expected man to live here in peace and harmony with the whole earth. We messed it up. So now the time has come. God has destroyed the old way. Now a new way begins. So now these animals are afraid of man. Verse 3, animals are food for man, like the green herbs. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. Is it possible that man didn't eat animals before the flood? You ever thought about that?
I heard a guy say that the other night on TV.
Do what?
I heard it on TV the other night. A guy said they were strictly vegetarians.
You know, we talked about carbon dioxide. Remember that little piece that we had? We're told in media today that carbon dioxide is bad, terrible, and we need to get rid of it. Well, as with anything, if you get too much, it's bad. But What do plants breathe in? Carbon dioxide. You know, if we get low on oxygen, what happens to us? We get weak and, you know, we can't hardly move. Well, did you ever think it the other way around with the plants? If they don't get oxygen, carbon dioxide that they need, are they going to be as strong as they should be? No. We mentioned that people who grow plants in greenhouses, what do? They pump in carbon dioxide. They grow faster, stronger. They have more nutrients in them. So it's possible, before the flood, that the plants were rich with nutrients. They didn't need the meat. Yes?
Not only would they have better nutrients, they would have been larger in size, and all the things that we think about with the dinosaurs, that wouldn't have been as far of a stretch because the atmosphere would have been different.
Right. Very good. Well, even before the flood, you know, talking about the giants, there was...
Well, in the first chapter of Genesis, you know, God was blessing Adam and Eve in the city. The home there had a lot of children and all, and spread out through the earth and all, and take complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every creature crawled. And then he went on about all the fruits and all of that, you know. It would be good to eat. And said, here I have provided all types of green plants like for food.
Yeah, nothing said about meat, is it? Again, I'm not going to say 100% that's the way it is.
However,
it sure seems that way. Yes,
remember,
Pete.
There was some punishment declared on Adam right from the beginning because he was to labor after the paradise was spawned. He was to tend to the herbs and stuff. So there was herbing stuff. In the first, before the flood, in the first generation, they got made of the herbs and animals and man. Because that was part of Adam's, to tend the plants. He'd go, that was for his sin, punishment for their sin that they work after. You know, before then, as you say, in paradise, hey, as far as we know, they had the stuff to eat in the orchard, and there was no labor needed.
Go back to the chart that we had in one very first part of this lesson showing the ages of the patriarchs. Remember that? Adam, 930 years. I mean, all of them are 900 years, 900 years, 900 years. Then all of a sudden after the flood, what happened? The ages went, took a nosedive. Why? For this reason right here. The environment was different. The atmosphere was different. The earth was different. The food was different. The temperature was different around the world. It wasn't paradise anymore. God had created man to basically live forever. There probably weren't a lot of diseases before the flood. But things changed. So the ages of men began to go downhill quite a bit. So now if somebody lives to be 100 years old, you know, that's a big thing. But Methuselah lived how long?
969.
I just can't imagine that. 900, almost 1,000 years living here on this earth. Wow. But one thing that's interesting about that is that for generations, people could go back and talk to Adam firsthand. I mean, it wasn't something in the history books. You go talk to the guy that was there. Pretty neat, pretty interesting. But anyway, these passages are kind to me pointing out that the world is different after the flood. Things have changed drastically. Dave? Well, it could go back to the same thing. Of course, God could have provided that to be there. Could have been rich soil. Now, we talk about today that the farmers deplete the nutrients in the soil. They got to put the nutrients back in. And it's possible that, you know, in the olden times, the soil was more nutritious, I guess, had more nutrients in it than what it has now. again, going back to the carbon dioxide, whatever it is. But yeah, the grapes were so huge, they couldn't even, two men couldn't carry them out. You know, it was, the crops just grew large. Yes?
It makes me wonder about, you know, you're talking about species, you know, things that they're being different out of the wood. If they were able to fit two of everything on the bark, I mean, now they're coming up with new species of everything. Mm. I can't imagine trying to put all those ones on the right
now. Okay. Species. Where would I just read that?
One other thing that I was thinking about, Bobby.
Oh, there it is.
That there were only eight souls, and they had the world to populate that whole world. If they didn't, they'd live a long time and have a whole lot of children that take an awful long time to populate it.
So. Yeah. Well, Noah and his family, they still live pretty long. Noah lived about 300 years after the flood. So they were still living pretty long, but like I said, they gradually, it tapered off pretty fast. Talking about species, we talked about this at one of our lessons earlier. A lot of times people, when they're talking about the number of animals that were on the ark, that's what they're doing. They're looking at every species of an animal, every breed of an animal. We noticed we had pictures up there of dogs. Remember all the different types and variety of dogs that there are? Did Noah have to take every variety of dog on the ark? No. The diversity of the genetic code is in the dog. All he had to do was take a male and a female dog. He didn't have to take a dash hound. He didn't have to take a greyhound. He didn't take a poodle. He didn't have to take a beagle. And the same with all the other animals. In verse 19 of chapter 8, go back to 18. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth, according to their what? Families or kind. Now, what does that mean? Well, going back to dogs, cats, horses. You didn't have to take every breed that there was. You didn't take every species. You know, we've got trout down here in the Lake Taneycomo. Of course, he didn't have to worry about the fish. But there's different species of trout, and there's two here, and there's other trout in the oceans and different things. Again, those are species. Those are just kind of like subdivisions of a family. So Noah didn't have to worry about all that. Yeah, the kind or the family. Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. After the flood, when the environments changed and everything, different species adapted to their own environment.
Right.
And they evolved from there. So there may not have been as many species there as the environment was all pretty much the same as that.
When God created the kinds, he created the families, whether it be animals, and he created mankind. There's lots of variety. Just look at the variety of people that are on the earth.
Amen.
You know, you got tall and short and black and white and everything in between. People, as she said, adapt to their environment. The people that live up in high altitudes, they have what? More red blood cells the body produces. They can get more oxygen. So God has created it so that we can adapt within a certain range. We're not going to change from a dog to a cow. There's limits that God has placed. But within those limits, there is a variety. You know, we breed, how many different types of roses are there? They don't necessarily come naturally. They breed them that way. They produce those. Same way with the different types of animals, dogs and so on. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have. That's a good question. There are a couple of possibilities. You know, there's always this idea of thrown about as that there was a supercontinent before the flood. In other words, all the land masses were together. You sit there and you see Africa split off from South America and all that kind of stuff. They've all separated. That's a possibility. But that would have happened during and shortly after the flood. So as you're saying, if Noah was over in Turkey or Iran or Iraq, wherever the ark ended up, how did they get to places like Australia? Well, one of the things that we noted after the flood, there was a great variation in temperature. Before the flood, it appears that the whole world was tropical. Why do we say that? Because in Antarctica, there's fossils of tropical plants buried beneath all the ice. There's dinosaurs, fossils, in Antarctica. So after the flood, the amount of water that was put on the earth changed the environment completely. There was the Ice Age. You know, we read about that in our history books when we were in class. Scientists have always had a problem with that. When did it happen? Well, it happened after the flood. If there were miles and miles of glaciers, there was a lot of water put into those glaciers. So that meant that the ocean levels were probably hundreds of feet lower than what they are now. So you look at some of the continents around the world, there's islands popped up all over the place. Well, there could have been, these islands could have been just a short distance away. Either the animals could have swam, people could have transported them there, or there could have been land bridges that allow these animals to transverse. You know, we talk about the Indians. How did they get to the United States? Well, probably from up north, across Alaska. So Iceland, Greenland, all of those places, they may not have been islands at one time. Could have been just all one landmass where people could walk. And then, as the glaciers melted, the oceans went up, those people were there. Unless they got a boat and left, they were there. So these are all possibilities, and real possibilities, that explains that.
I guess if Noah could build a boat, I'm sure him could build a boat. I guess they could build a boat.
Oh, they could have built a boat. What did they build right after, not too long after the ark? Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
You know? So God confused their languages and said, we're not having this. Y'all go your separate ways. So that's where languages came from. But yeah, they weren't stupid people. You know, evolutionists try to make it think that they were just cavemen, didn't know a whole lot back in the past. These were very intelligent people. Yeah, they could build. They could do a lot of things. Look at the pyramids in Egypt. We still wonder how in the world they did all that stuff. They weren't stupid. Anything else?
The only thing I could find before this was where Cain and Abel one offered.
Sacrifice. Yep. Yeah, I'm not saying they didn't kill animals. You know, they use it, you know. And I'm not saying they didn't eat meat at all, but it just sounds to me like the fear of man wasn't in the animals. They still could have killed them.
Well, one of the punishments was the ground would make it hard for you to eat plants.
Right, right. Yeah. So the weeds came in.
It didn't say, I'm going to make all the animals wild and you can't catch them.
Right, yeah. It's a possibility. Like I said, yeah, he doesn't, again, it goes back to wish God had given us more information, but it does kind of point to the fact that things were different concerning animals and man after the flood as before.
I find it very interesting that you find no reference of an animal being sacrificed until after sin had entered the world. It's only after the sin is in the world that we find animals being sacrificed.
Yep.
I don't think it's a coincidence.
Oh, no. What did God say when he told Adam and Eve if they ate of that fruit? They're going to die. Well, they died spiritually that day, and they began to die physically. But instead of killing off mankind, what did God do? He killed an animal in its place. You know, Hebrews 11:4, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. There were probably billions of animals sacrificed in the Old Testament. But it didn't solve any problem of sin. It just kind of appeased God for a while that he had to do something until Jesus could come. And when Jesus came, his blood dealt with the problem of sin and cures it. So the animals had to die. Something had to die. Either man was going to die or the animals were going to die. So God said, okay, the animals die for now. But eventually, the Son of God's going to die for you to live. That was the great sacrifice. Yes, Pete.
That animal was primarily something that was canceling out sin. God furnished that animal that this person who is sinning might give something in return for sinning against God. Of course, he gave the animal. That was somewhat of a neutralizer, you know, at the time of sin. We know today, of course, we know today that only the blood of Christ can wipe away sin. But that animal was, they were paying the price for it.
Yeah, I've often wondered, you see, in the Old Testament, you read about those sacrifices and priests offering those sacrifices. That had to be a bloody mess.
Can you imagine?
All these people bringing their sacrifices in. I mean, that blood had to be running all over the place. Wow. Yeah, the best. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it was to show mankind that sin has a price. And again, the biggest price was Jesus Christ. In Genesis 1, 29 and 30, and God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed. I think Elwood just read this. Seeds that are on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I've given every green herb for food, and it was so. So it seems to be, when God created the earth, that was the food. That's all you needed. Because as I said, the plants were a lot better than what they are now. In verse 4, God commands not to eat blood. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely for your lifeblood, we'll go to that in a minute. So what is God saying here? Don't be a vampire. Don't eat blood.
Life is in the blood.
So now I'm going to ask a question. Is it wrong to eat rare meat when it's still bloody? Food for thought. Well, I think cooked, yeah. Well, you bleed it out, but there are some people that eat steak so rare that it's still bloody.
Old Testament.
So, that's just something I'm throwing out there. I'm not going to eat it, but that's something to think about. Don't eat blood. It's got to be cooked out, bled out. Oh, yeah.
Bleeding.
Yeah. Yeah. Generally, hang them upside down, let them bleed. Yep. Get rid of it. It's there. Five and six. Man is made in the image of God, and he is to be held in high regard. If a life is taken without just cause, that person or animal's life should be taken. 5 and 6. Surely your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning from the hand of every beast. I will require it, and from the hand of man, and from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever shed man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. Is God putting high value on the life of mankind? Yes.
I believe that's the most important passage in the Bible, that we are made in the image of God.
Does God believe in capital punishment? Yes. You got people today that they're going to cry about killing somebody. And you don't do it lightly. But God says if an animal kills a man, that animal dies. If a man kills a man without just cause, he dies from the hand of man. Plain and simple. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. Yeah. They'll abort babies, tear them to pieces, whatever it takes. But, don't hurt this little animal out here. Yes.
I think these verses kind of explain the command in verse 4. You know, the idea here is we are made, the creation is made in God's image. The life is in the blood. God put that life there. We don't take it in. It goes back to God who gave it. Mm-hmm. And the idea is, our lifeblood, the animal's blood, is precious because God gave it. Our lifeblood,
right. Precious. Yep.
And so we've got to keep these in context as far as the value that God's assigned to
me. Right. Yeah, we're going to be good stewards of God's earth, no matter what it is, the animals, whatever. But at the same time, when you're talking about the animal, we've got people today that you're not supposed to kill an animal. You know, it's terrible. Well, it needs to be done humanely, I believe. But again, going back to God, he authorized how many, like I said, billions of animals to be sacrificed because of man's sin. What did he say? Mm-hmm. Kill and eat. Yep.
I have one question.
Yes.
If we're made in the image of God, do we inherit anything? Do we naturally inherit goodness? You know, God is good. God was perfect. He is perfect. If we were made in his image, and I know we all think that that's our thinking, our mental capacity, whatever, but I still say if we're made in his image, we should have a little bit of his goodness inherited in us. Do we?
Well,
I think we do, don't you?
I believe God created us good. He created Adam and Eve good.
That's why babies aren't made to be baptized.
Baptized, yeah.
Can be learned by anyone.
Yep. When we get to that age of accountability, as we call it, where we have a choice, then, it's up to us to make sure we make the right decisions. But, we don't always do that. Any other questions or comments? Thank you for your questions and comments. Let's go to Heavenly Father in prayer before we dismiss the class. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us. We realize that you are all-powerful, all-knowing. We pray that as we read and study your word, that we'll learn those things that you would have us to learn, and that we'll apply it to our lives, mainly that you're in control. Whatever you decide is going to happen will happen. We realize that you have laid out a plan that we all can be saved, just as Noah and his family was, so that in the end we can spend eternity with you in heaven. We pray that we will seek that plan, we will do that plan, we will live it. So when the end comes, we will be ready and we'll be with you forever. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.